This is another talk in this series on Jesus being the foundation of the Christian faith. And this one's entitled, Jesus, the Incarnate Word. I'm going to start by reading a little bit from the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. A father once tried to talk to his son about his first year in college. The father said, "How are things going?" The son said, "Good." The father said, "And the dormitory?" And he said, "Good." And the father said, "How are your studies going?" And the son said, "Good." The father said, "Have you decided what you're going to major in yet?" And his son said, "Yes." "Well, what is it?" asked the father. And the son said, "Communication." Words are pretty powerful things. The old English saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," does not actually ring true, if you've ever been on the end of a tongue-lashing from someone. The famous publisher of dictionaries, Dr. Wilfred Funk, was once asked to select the 10 most expressive words in the English language. Here is his list. The most bitter word, alone. The most tragic, death. The most revered, mother. The most beautiful, love. The most cruel, revenge. The most peaceful, tranquil. The saddest, forgotten. The warmest, friendship. The coldest, no. The most comforting, faith. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. He was the complete revelation of God and came to show us what God's character is like, how he deals with people, and how much he loves us. Jesus is the Word of God in the Bible, sprung to life. Just recently, we spent a weekend with my daughter and son-in-law in London, and of course on Sunday, when we had a free day, it poured with rain and blew a gale. So after a bit of a debate, we decided to renew our acquaintance with the Science Museum. When we got there, we noticed that the museum now sported an IMAX cinema. That's one of those with the screen that's three buses high and tremendously wide, so you feel you're actually in the film. Not only that, but they were showing films in 3D. So we duly trooped into the theatre with hundreds of kids and put on the special polarising glasses. The effect was truly amazing. The film literally sprang to life as shoals of fish swam out of the screen and around our heads. the children were trying to touch them as they swam past. It's well worth a visit if you're up that way. Just as the fish swam out of the film to be experienced in a new way, Jesus was the embodiment of biblical revelation. He was the way, the truth, and the life, in solid 3D and technicolor. He brought God's word to life with a new relevance to the everyday experience of God's people. We sometimes have debates with other world faiths, and they're quick to point out that, in their opinion, there are thousands of mistakes in the Bible. But you see, for Christians, perfection is in Christ, not in the words written down by the prophets, who may well have been influenced by the times in which they lived. Christ was the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies, the embodiment, the explanation, the whole truth, unveiled, revealed, in a way that all could see and understand. However, having said all that, Jesus certainly based his life and ministry on the clear revelation of God in the Scriptures. Remember what Jesus said to Cleopas and his friend as they travelled along the road to Damascus. And Luke records it in chapter 24. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus had complete confidence in the word of God. He was the embodiment and fulfillment of the plan of salvation which God had laid out so many years before. Jesus was, in the language of the time, a teaching rabbi. He took the Scriptures and turned them into a living reality, truth for our time. He used the universally recognized phraseology of rabbinical teachers. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." People of our time are on a search for some sort of spirituality. It's unfocused. They chase after shadows, New Age revelations, Eastern mysticism, anything that might give some answers. And yet they overlook the one place where answers can truly be found, the life and ministry of Jesus, recorded in the Bible. If you want to see that truly expressed, just go to Glastonbury in the UK and stroll down the high street. Look in the shop windows. Browse the bookshops. Every kind of weird and wonderful approach to spirituality is there, with classes in every kind of mysticism and occult practice, and crowds of young people searching for something real in life, something they could hold on to, some sort of truth. To Jesus, the words of God were truly life and death. They were that important. And because of that, he gave them tremendous emphasis in his ministry. Jesus came to bring light and life to this world, to generations of people who had lost sight of God, and all the more urgent because he knew that this world is not going to last forever. There will come a moment when God has to call time on the whole thing. Interestingly, Christ's words ring as true and fresh as if they were only written yesterday. Mark chapter 8 states, "Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will be also ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus' words weren't just for that first century generation. They were intended to be a continuing witness to the love and concern that he expressed towards mankind. They are intended to stand for all of human history, even up to our day. Mark 13 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Now you could ask yourself, as indeed many do, what could Jesus, teaching and preaching in the first century Palestine, have to do with me, living here at the start of the 21st century? Does Jesus offer anything more than all these other world faiths and mystic crystal revelations? How are his words supposed to impact my life in the here and now, with all the rushing and tearing, frenetic activity that's in our world today? Is what he says and the way he lived relevant to our life today? How important is biblical teaching to us today? Well, Jesus maintains, and I agree with him, that the Bible does not just give us answers to what's going to happen in the prophetic future, as some people seem to concentrate on, but actually gives a recipe for the best way to live now, here, in this place, and this time. He says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, "I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house." In the light of recent events, metaphors about floods are very relevant. We've all seen pictures of flood damage, and even a couple of years ago, we've seen the houses being washed away in the torrential flood at Boscastle. Around the world, hundreds of people lost their lives when a great earthquake hit and houses fell down around them. We even had a small one in the UK earlier in the year. If we build our lives on any foundation other than Jesus, it will eventually, sooner or later, fail. Be it wealth, power, looks, popularity, or human relationships, they all eventually fail. The only solid foundation is the truthful words of Jesus. John 12, verse 47 says, "I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me." Jesus' words have transforming power. He came to bring us the truth about God the Father and his relationship with humankind, which had become very misunderstood over the years, just as it has today, I might hasten to add. Jesus told the people the truth about salvation. Many times throughout his ministry, Jesus had people, the disciples, Nicodemus, the multitudes, face up to the truth about salvation. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and the Spirit. John 3. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. John 5. The bottom line in all this is that salvation is all about being in the kingdom of God, and that comes about by having the broken relationship with God restored through Jesus' life and work. He is our truth and our promise of eternal life. Whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has, already has, crossed over from death to life. What an amazing promise to each one of us, and to any in this world. Jesus says, stop looking, stop searching, stop trying to build your house of the house of your life on sand. I am the word of life to all who will listen. I am the bedrock of truth. Jesus is very straightforward in his teaching. Without that restored relationship, without that bedrock, people are dead. Dead in their broken relationship with God. Dead in their sins. The walking dead. Not because God is nasty or vindictive, but because without God there is no life. We exist moment by moment through his love and grace. Jesus came on a rescue mission because God loves us as a loving Father who wants to see his children prosper and grow. But people need to hear Jesus' words and to get to know the real truth about God through Jesus' life. Something's got lost in today's media clamour. That's where you and I can come in if we're friends of Jesus. We can talk gently about him to other friends. Jesus was never afraid to tell the truth about sin and separation from God. But he did it in a sensitive and a positive way. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been the slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John chapter 8. You would have thought that when Jesus offered this freedom, everyone would have jumped at the chance. They would have grabbed it with both hands. But when Jesus told the people that they could know the truth, and the truth would set them free, a good number of those listening didn't like what Jesus said all that much. In fact, they were offended. Why? It was because they saw meaning behind those words, and they knew that Jesus was looking at them straight in the eyes and saying to them, you are slaves. You think you're free, but you're not free at all. They were offended by this and replied, but we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone on earth. What do you mean, set free? It's an unfortunate fact. A lot of people respond in the same way today. What do you mean, Jesus can set me free? I'm already free. I live the way I want. I make my own choices. I do my own thing. Make my own way. I don't need anyone to set me free. I'm not a slave to anyone. Quite the contrary. It's religion that's trying to enslave everyone. If only we could get rid of religion and morality, we would be really free. Jesus was quite forthright. I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Think about modern life on the street. Is the person doing drugs slave or free? Is the person who drinks too much slave or free? Is the person caught in immorality slave or free? Is the person who's caught up in materialistic pursuits slave or free? Is the person who lives only for praise and popularity slave or free? Is the person sacrificing family, home and relationships for their career slave or free? Is the person trapped in angerness, bitterness, slander, hatred, malice and unforgiveness slave or free? Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin." Jesus, the Word incarnate, told people the truth about sin. Sin enslaves us, and the truth sets us free. Jesus told the people what's really important to him. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus paints a powerful picture of the end of this present age, of what will happen at his return. And everyone listening to my voice is going to be there. And listen, as we and everyone else who has ever lived stands before the King of Kings, he's going to tell us what is a really big deal to him. He's going to tell us what is so important to him, that if we miss it, we'll miss out on heaven, because our relationship with each other will be a broken one, and that reflects our relationship with God. The question is, do you know what is important to God? Compassion. Helping and caring for the less fortunate in this world. And one day Jesus will look at the people who had compassion, who had got it, and say to them, "Then the King will say to those on his right, 'Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to see me.'" And then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you in sick or in prison and come to you?" And then the King will say, "I am telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did it to one of these things, to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Matthew chapter 25. We see the ones who understood and lived compassionately are the ones who will inherit eternal life, because they were changed by that restored relationship. Jesus needs to be at the focus and center of our Christianity. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the most complete revelation of God that we have, and the grace and truth that typified his ministry has turned the world upside down. No other world faith has the concept of grace, undeserved merit. Only Christianity offers forgiveness, free and unfettered. Our picture of God would be dim and vague if we only had the writings of the Old Testament prophets to guide us. As someone once remarked, "The new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed, and Jesus is that revelation." He said in answer to a question about the nature of God the Father, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves." His words were the very words of God. His works were the works of God. His words are life-changing, empowering, enlightening, comforting, and affirming. Many philosophers have come and gone over the years, and their philosophies have held the public imagination for a few fashionable years and then fallen in the dust. But Jesus' words have endured. His example, his works, have stood the test of time. They are just as relevant today as they were 20 centuries ago, because they bear the imprint of the Creator God. What he was and what he did are the ultimate expression of God's love for you and for me. If we've seen Jesus, if we accept his sacrifice on our behalf, if we listen to his words and follow where he leads, then we shall indeed have a restored relationship with God. Because if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That should be our daily joy, to get a clearer view of Jesus in our lives. Jesus, the incarnate Word. He's even left us a great helper to enable us to do that, which we all have access to every minute of every day. John 14, Jesus says, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you." Elsewhere, the text speaks of another comforter, and the Greek text means one exactly the same as me. So if you've seen Jesus, listened to him, followed him, you'll have also seen the Holy Spirit. He will teach us everything and remind you of all I have said to you. What an amazing thing to be able to sit at Jesus' feet every day and learn of him through the abiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. What a life-changing experience available to each one of us. John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." We look forward to the return of our Lord when we can sit at his feet and see him face to face. But in the meanwhile, it's our privilege, in this age of the Holy Spirit, to be in the presence of God as we study the life and work of his Son Jesus and speak to him in prayer, building lives on the solid foundation of Jesus, God's incarnate Word. I'd like to finish with just a small prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you have sent Jesus Christ into this world to be the ultimate expression of your love, to give the clearest picture we have of the relationship you want to have with your people. Help us to follow Jesus closely, and in doing that, through the guidance and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we will come closer to you and be part of your kingdom. Fill us with the compassion that Jesus had for humanity. Help us to reflect his love into the world around us, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.